want to give you the weather, which I love to do. Joyce, my wife, knows I love the weather. Do you want to do the weather with me, Matt?
Sure, I'll do the weather.
Oh, boy. Matt is going to do the weather. I'm going to turn the Something about being a weatherman. Like Letterman started as a weatherman. You know, Abby Hoffman started as a weatherman. Here we go.
Absolutely.
Okay. In Greeley, Colorado, the weather is
partially cloudy with a current temperature of 74 degrees Fahrenheit. Very little precipitation, actually down to 0%, with a humidity of 54%. Wind is 3 miles per hour.
Ooh. He even does the wind.
Hmm.
Yeah. I'm. You did that so well, I'm going to break some wind. Hold on.
Oh. You gotta have the thing closer to you.
Where's my wind sound effect? I can do it. That's a drum roll. Oh, it's on there somewhere. It looks like a little cloud. Much better, thank you. Now, how about tomorrow? What's the weather going to be like tomorrow?
We're looking with a little bit of a higher temperature, getting up to as high of 90 degrees Fahrenheit. Humidity is going to be a little lower tomorrow, down to about 29 to 30%. Wind is expected to be a little bit higher, but not much, under 10 miles per hour.
Very nice. Very nice. So it's been pretty much tomorrow's going to be a lot like today.
A lot like today, just
a tinge warmer.
Still mostly sunny. We're not expecting to get any rain or any precipitation.
Oh, but look at Monday.
Monday, we are expecting some scattered thunderstorms. A little bit higher of a wind. Once again, nothing that isn't like living out in the plains of Colorado. No, occasional breeziness with an occasional burst of smelly gas coming from the east. And the high coming somewhere around 85 degrees around 1 to 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
There you go. Yeah, no, I mean, I think there was a typhoon in somewhere, like Thailand or Malaysia, a day or so ago, and, like, people died and stuff.
That's terrifying.
Well, yeah.
That I didn't know.
Yeah. I mean, I can know them, so I don't care, but there you go. And then, but then things clear up. I mean, it's best chance of rain for Monday. And then Tuesday, so we can tell people what to expect this week.
Oh, Tuesday, still around the same temperature, 88 degrees is the expected high. Once again, mostly cloudy weather. No real chance of precipitation, down to 10%. But, of course, we're in Colorado, so that could be snow for all we know. with the chances, although with the current warm front we're experiencing, that's not a word, but I used it.
Warm front is.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I've never heard anyone call that. I've heard it
a cold
front.
Oh, yeah, when I hug my wife, I get a warm front.
Hello!
Thank you.
I don't have
sound effects. Hurry. Pick anyone. Good. Cha-ching. Excellent.
It's totally not the one I meant to do. I meant to say that was a horrible joke. And
now, and I guess I'll tell everybody that the whole rest of the week is pretty much the same from Tuesday onward, just getting a little warmer each day. So we'll go into the 90s on Wednesday and stay there, popping up through like 95 degrees on Friday. Every day a mix of sun and clouds between, really, for the whole weekdays. It's summer. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, we're here. We're at the university. Things are cranking up. You know, students are coming back.
We're starting to see more students arrive. We're definitely seeing more university activity.
Yeah. And hell, I teach in 2 weeks, and there's and it's training things a week from now, and it's just, so we feel like it's autumn. And you walk into Target, and you walk into all these stores, and everything's back to school.
Everything's back to school.
You know, but it's still summer, folks. We still
fall isn't
until
hot.
September 20th.
It's still going to be hot for a while.
Yeah,
especially in Colorado. You know, it's going to continue to be warm.
Yeah,
it seems like we've gotten away from all the rain that we were getting earlier in the summer. It's just dry and hot now.
Yeah.
So we're still pretty far off from getting into that fall weather.
Well, no, you can tell we had like 3 fires 2 days ago in Greeley. Did you see that? There was like 2 buildings went up like a mile, less than a mile from each other, and then a gas pipe exploded.
Oh.
Yeah. No, that's not my ass. I'm talking about... Thank you. Oh, no! Yeah, this hit a pipeline or something, boom.
That's
you didn't see that? Because I was driving and we saw like plumes of smoke.
I did see plumes of smoke. I saw a big plume of smoke yesterday.
Oh, that it might have been yesterday, yeah.
But it was. It seemed like it was in the centralish western part of Greeley. So that must have. I'm not sure if that was a fire or whether that was just.
No, that was. Because
that's what I assumed.
If you get the Greeley Tribune today, one column is the big gas pipe fire. The other column is two houses on fire. It's like, you know, we're exploding.
That's not good.
It's fracking. No,
I mean, you know, you could attest many of these things to fracking. It wouldn't be necessarily be right to do so, but no, you could attest it.
Well,
to
the old pipeline, I don't know.
I would assume that fracking wouldn't necessarily deal with the pipeline, but then
They're doing their own pipelines. It's different with, well, it's still oil.
Sometimes fracking is just one of those things you want to avoid talking about.
Okay.
That sound effect was a little bit more extreme than I was hoping it would be.
Yeah, we could do something a little gentler.
There you go.
Yeah, why didn't I have that for my jokes?
Damn. Well, now you know.
Anywho, how you been? You know, we can talk for a minute or two, and then I'll play some more music. But you been good?
I've been good.
We're talking to Matthew Davis, by the way. He's the programming director of UNCRadio.com, the radio station of the University of Northern Colorado, where I do this radio program, Dave's Gone By, every Saturday. So you had a good summer. I know you were working at Little Theater of the Rockies.
I was.
Did you have a favorite show of the season that they did?
I have to say, working on Dogfight was one of the cooler, better experiences that I had.
Because
it's a brand new musical, essentially. It's new. It's not
Godspell.
You know, I didn't mind Godspell. Godspell was an interesting show. Mm-hmm. That being said, I don't know that I ever want to do it again. And knowing musical theater, I'll be doing it again at some point. I don't know when that will be, but it's kind of like Oklahoma. You got to do it more than once in your tenure, but you're never going to really enjoy it while you're doing it.
Well, yeah. Well, they've also hit Guys and Dolls a few times, but that's kind of a fun one.
Yeah,
with great score.
That one's a little bit. Yeah, that's a great score. A little more fun. A little more interesting.
Yeah.
Than either of those other two musicals that I...
Sure, but Dogfight...
But Dogfight being so new.
That they chose this off-Broadway musical called Dogfight that was only done like 2-3 years ago off-Broadway, and they brought that to Little Theater of the Rockies. That was nice.
And not only... what I really liked about our production of Dogfight is that it was the regional premiere.
Oh, really?
Really,
wow.
It was the regional premiere. First, to do it in the Northern Colorado area. I know there's a theater in Denver, Colorado called Ignite Theater that will be doing the Denver regional area premiere this coming fall. And so just a real awesome new show. It's starting to get a lot of attention from regional theaters, and I think we'll start to see
it. Actually, I was going to Denver to see Iggy Azalea in concert, but that'll be my Ignite.
You know, that was completely unplanned, folks. that he does just come up with those puns off the top of his head here in the neighborhood. That's just something that happens when he walks in the door.
Yeah.
But I'm kidding, of course. It's not when he walks in the door. This is just who he is.
It's before I even walk in the door. I'm planning them.
I knew
we were talking about this.
Apparently, because I didn't. You must have somehow led me there.
So you're working on a show also in the fall. It's not called Little Theater of the Rockies anymore. It's the UNC slate here of shows that they do during the year with the students. What's the show you're going to be doing in November?
I'll be working on a show called Marathon 33.
Hmm.
Just as brief of an explanation as possible.
Yeah.
It's a show about essentially a dance marathon. Dancing till they drop.
They shoot horses, don't they?
It's essentially the same concept.
Okay.
Yeah, it's one of the that's one of the movies that I've been kind of watching for research.
And wasn't Marathon 33 written by June Havoc?
You know, off the top of my head, I'm unsure. It's still kind of on my back burner.
I think it is.
The show's a little off my back burner since we're still so far away.
Of course.
But,
and I'm saying this just to see what kind of musical theater person you are. Because, let's see. Come on. Well, hold on.
You're getting
doing
the
a Google
version.
Thing here. Who? Depression era. Oh, it is her. Okay. Don't ring it.
Okay.
Who was June Havoc?
Couldn't tell you.
Actress, singer, if you're familiar with the musical, the Broadway musical, Gypsy.
Ah.
About Gypsy Rose Lee. And her two daughters. I don't know if they've ever done that here.
Off the top of my head, I don't know that I've heard anything about.
But she has two daughters, and there's baby June, and Louise. And Baby June is the one who's got all the talent and is being groomed to be a star in vaudeville. And then Baby June is tired of being on the road with her mom and doing all that. And so in the middle of the musical, she ups and gets married and goes off. And then Mama concentrates all her energies now on Louise to keep the show going. And so Louise Hovick and becomes Gypsy Rose Lee, the stripper. Uh-huh. But Baby June, the kid who went off to get... That's June Havoc, who ended up writing Marathon 33.
Ah.
So if you hear the musical Gypsy, and that squeaky little kid, you know, let me entertain you, let me make... That's Baby June Havoc. Okay. See how much I know of useless information about the theater?
Well, it helped us fill about 2.5 minutes of conversation here in the neighborhood, so...
That's what it's all about.
Must not be completely useless.
So who's directing Marathon 33?
That'll be David Grapes II.
Oh, it's not a musical. It's a play about...
It's a play about it, but it's... Honestly, I think I'd equate it more to... You know, it's not a musical because, to my knowledge, there's not really any direct singing in it. It's not the style of a musical, but it's a dance show.
Oh, wow.
So it's going to be a lot of heavy choreography. I'm not sure of the choreographer off the top of my head.
Okay.
But I know there will be a choreographer for this show because of the amount of dance that is going to be happening in it.
And you're going to be doing the sound design on the...
I will be the sound designer for the show. Yes.
Cool. Hey, can I ask, as the sound designer, sometimes for some of the shows that we do here, has over the past couple of years, I know they've been renovating and doing a bunch of stuff. They put in new seats in the Langworthy Theater. Is it better? Is it easier? Is it, you know,
it's continually getting better in that space. You know, with the theater being built in the 1950s, it was never intended to have live sound amplification in it. And at one point, they had a cloud in there, and a cloud is—it's just something that hangs from the ceiling.
A cloud?
It's a cloud, not that kind of cloud. Thank goodness. Although, you know, that kind of cloud might leak in from the outside. What you're gonna experience in that space is a lot of reverb off the walls. You know, when you just hear, if you clap in a room and you hear all the reverb coming off of it, and it kind of sounds like it's fluttering.
Mm-hmm.
Just talking on the stage without a mic will kind of produce that same effect. It really goes through the room because at one point those acoustics were designed to get the voice of the actor who's not mic'd on the stage to the back seats.
Right.
So when you put a bunch of speakers in there, all these different locations, all those sounds kind of reverberate off the walls, and it starts to sound honestly horrible.
Mm.
But what
even if you put carpeting everywhere and you kind of dampen, right?
Yeah, in a way. And it's, you know, it's gotten better, and we've done some stuff in the past to try to get to a better point. But where we are right now is they just finished installing, right before the summer production of Aida, a brand new Meyer sound system.
Okay.
It's very nice. The whole project, I believe, is like over $100,000 to
Good
get
Lord.
Everything in. And part of that budget that will be finished before Marathon 33 is brand new acoustical treatments on the walls.
Oh, sweet.
Which will essentially... They came in last year and did these balloon tests where they stand on the stage and they pop a balloon, and they've got all these different reference mics around the room, and they're able to map exactly what time the balloon pops and what time those mics hear it and where those reflections are coming from. So now they're going to come in with that knowledge of how the acoustics in the room work and fix how the space sounds. So that when a speaker is amplifying somebody's voice or a musical instrument or anything, you only hear it where you're supposed to and how you're supposed to, as opposed to whoa, 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 whoa.
You know, I gotta say, Matt, we're talking with Matthew. Oh God, I was gonna say, what the hell is your name? You're Matt Davis?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Sorry, I've been on the air for 3.5 hours.
It helps.
You need to go out there, you know, after you graduate, get experience, do it for like 10 years, and then you need to come back and teach. Because you can explain complicated sound theory in a way that even a moron like me can understand. Honestly, I get it. I understand that, you know?
Yeah.
Not easy stuff, but well, wow, okay, cool. And I like the balloon idea, although balloons popping I'm very neurotic about, so I would hate that test.
Couldn't they stand in the room and go, ah! Dave, you can't yell during the test. It messes up the results. Okay.
That's what would happen to me. I get really, like, you know, loud noises and sudden noises I do not like.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Well, that's fair.
But cool. So, and this is your senior year? Where
this is going to be my fourth year here at UNC.
That doesn't necessarily make you a senior in this place.
It does, kind of. I'm probably going to graduate on time. I'm kidding, of course. I'm going to graduate on time.
Well, you can always probably take a course during intercession if you're 3 or 4 credits short.
Yeah. And that's what I did this summer. I was a little short on credits and took an extra class to work on building my credit up.
Also, so at this point, you can take a regular course load, fall and spring, and be done.
Yeah. Right now, I'm taking, an 18-credit course load this fall, but that allows me to go into the spring and only take a 13-credit course load.
Okay, but they allow you to do 18. Is that 6 classes, or is one of those a 4-credit or something like that?
I think it's, I want to say it's 5 classes, to be honest. I don't know off the top of my head. But one of those classes, if we're actually going to get to the count of 6, includes, because of the way the university works, my work on Marathon 33. Because they
don't
want to pay
good.
Me, but they want to credit me. So that's where. So anyway, that's what's going on in.
Well, good. What course are you most looking forward to that you're going to be taking this fall?
Definitely, I forget the exact name of it. It's called the Senior Seminar for the theater department. It's all the things that you kind of have to have real-world skills for that aren't necessarily regular class-based work, like skills going into an interview in a theater setting, because that type of interview is going to be different than, you know, interviewing for a Starbucks or, you know, for a managerial position in a restaurant. I mean, or something
you walk
like
into basically your dressing room, and, you know, there's a dozen other people with you. There's Bill Cosby. How do you do? What do you drink? Do you decline politely?
I'm sure that and many other subjects will be covered in this.
Because you're kind of cute. You know, there'll be casting couches in your future.
I really hope not, because I really do not want to be on stage or on camera.
Oh, okay.
But all possible.
There's never casting couches for tech, is there?
No. I think the closest thing to a casting couch would be 2 bar stools and a bar. Followed by beer.
No, but you never know who you have to sleep with to be a rigger.
Hopefully no one, but we'll find out.
Maybe we'll find a cute lady type girl
it
person.
Could be who's the
shop steward. And actually, if you want to get into a union, you probably do have to at least kiss a few butts, literally or figuratively, if not literally.
It feels like it when you're trying to get your card.
Yeah. Are you in that mode yet, or you can't think about that until you're out of school?
Technically, I can't. I don't know that I'm eligible to get a union card at this point, nor would I want to, because getting a union card would essentially probably make it really difficult for me to finish my degree.
Right.
Also, I don't have the necessary amount of experience in order to earn a union card at this point in time. I've worked on union gigs where they required overhire work, but that's kind of been the extent of my IOTC experience.
Cool. Okay. By the way, we are talking with... I'm just going to call you Thomas. No, I'm going to call you Matthew Davis. This is what happens when I'm on the air just a little too long. Well, at least on a Saturday I am. But I'm great talking to you. I'm glad you had a good summer. Glad you had fun working at LTR and excited about Marathon 33 and all your course load stuff. Did you do anything that wasn't work-related fun over the summer?
I got a dog.
Oh, my God. Was it tasty? Nice.
The hot dogs I had over the summer were delicious.
Well, what kind of doggy you got?
I got an Australian Shepherd cattle dog mix. So
big
he's,
dog, no?
He's about a medium-sized-ish dog. Uh-huh. He's just over 50 pounds.
5-0? Or 15?
50.
50, 5-0, five, yeah.
You're good. With that, he is a... You know, he's kind of about the same height you'd expect of an Australian Shepherd, but he's the length of a cattle dog, which is really funny because when he walks, it almost looks like he's kind of slithering forward like a snake. He's got a super long, weird neck, and it's really funny to see him because he's a little weirdly proportioned.
What's his name?
His name is Brody.
Brody. Is there a reason you gave him the name Brody?
That's the name he came with when I adopted him from the shelter.
Oh, good. Shelter dog.
Shelter dog, yep. And I, he's 8 years old.
Oh, you got an old shelter. Well, oldish.
Oldish.
Because for a big dog, that's...
8 years old is kind of considered a senior dog. Yeah. But I've always adopted senior dogs in the past. And honestly, he's been a great dog. He came to me really well trained. He wasn't very well socialized when I first got him, especially with other animals. But one of the things that I've been able to do is take him back to my parents' house and introduce him to the three dogs we have there. And he's kind of gotten better with them. We just had a house party the other day at my house, and you know, he was fine with all the guests. And so just the more people he's come in contact with, the better he's gotten.
Cool. Cool. Well, congratulations, man.
Thank you very much.
A dog, yeah. I hope you make really, really good money as a sound engineer, because when he starts needing medical attention, you're going to need it.
Not looking forward to those bills, but we'll get there.
Hell yeah. Well, you got to bring him in to the vet twice a year anyway.
Well, right.
And that's a couple of hundred, right?
Not necessarily cheap, but those pre-visits are better than
finding out later.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Matthew Davis here in the neighborhood talking about his doggy. I think once the show has gone to the dogs, ladies and gentlemen. I think so. Once we hit that topic, it's time to get back to music. So I want to thank you for stopping into the neighborhood on this Saturday morning.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on your program.
Always. And I say this at the end of every show. I thank you for what you have done for this radio station. Well, for this radio program, making sure I was on all summer, which you didn't have to do. I mean, this place could shut down over the summer, all things considered.
But absolutely not. We're a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week, 365-day-a-year operating radio station.
Yeah,
and
that's
the
goal.
And we like to live by it. Absolutely. There's, you know, just because we're on the college level does not necessarily mean we have to operate in a way that you would expect college to operate at. So our
and besides, I operate on an elementary school level. Very proud of that.
Absolutely. But the rest of the station likes to operate on a professional level as much as possible.
That's right.
And, you know, Dave, you know you're part of that group as well, even though you're...
Anywho. No, but seriously, man. It's incredibly valued and hugely important to what this station has been for the past year and a half or so of keeping us going, of the equipment, of making sure things are running. I can't thank you enough for what you've done to this station, which I don't know what condition it would have been in a few months back had you not been here. And hopefully you will still be with us for this whole coming year.
Yeah, we're looking forward to a great year at UNC Student Radio and continued development of different programs, continued development of our equipment, and getting as many students involved as possible, being DJs and bringing more listeners into the station. You know, your show has such a fantastic listenership and such an involved audience.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and yeah. All five of them. one of them died last week, but we've still got four. we're piping into the casket. So
there's still five. If you really want to get it.
But, you figure they could have come at, if you believe in reincarnation, which I don't, but some people do, you pipe it into the casket, the soul is still listening to my episode 387 and enjoying it quite a lot.
That's terrifying. You know, if you had to think about it, if we put a radio in every single casket of listeners that died... made that happen, somehow continued to power through, and they went off to heaven thinking, wow, I'm leaving earthly things behind. Hi, you're listening to Dave from Dave's Gone By. What am I doing? Dave's Gone By. I'm up in heaven. I thought I escaped this guy.
No. That's what we should do. We should pipe the archives of my program into, like, the graves of Nazi soldiers.
24/7, 365 days a year.
Any Islamic jihadist
and
who
all
blows
they hear,
himself up.
They're German, and not understanding of what it is. All they hear is this annoying white guy.
and Rabbi Saul Solomon, of course. And Rabbi
that would be fantastic.
Oh, if Hitler had to listen to Rabbi Saul Solomon for the rest of eternity.
That'd be a pretty good punishment.
Oh, yeah. Problem is, what do you do about the people in heaven? How you protect them from the waves? Because isn't it true? I'm going to let you go. But what is that thing where terrestrial radio signals that were broadcasting in 1960 are just pinging off Jupiter now or some weird thing like that?
In theory, you know, because radio waves only travel at such and such speed, in theory, if you were listening to a radio antenna, like say you had a standard car radio outside of Jupiter, you might pick up whatever signal, however long it took it to reach that point. However, I don't know a lot about this subject, but you know, you might be getting quite a jarble of different radio signals, and it'd probably be kind of weak because you know, kind of imagine the farther away you get from a radio station, you know, broadcasting, you know, 5 miles from your house, the weaker the signal gets.
Oh, that's right. So, yeah.
And I'm not sure how that would act in space, but...
So in the 50,000 watters, though, so you won't be listening to Cousin Brucey when you're up on Pluto, you know, but in you've theory, got Rush Limbaugh coming through also, yeah.
What is it with these people coming to Pluto?
Oh, because I feel so bad about
Because it's
Pluto.
Not actually a planet?
It isn't. Well, it's a dwarf planet now. It sort of is a planet, but it isn't? What the hell? You know?
I mean, when its moon is bigger than it.
Well, yeah, but it still can be a tiny planet.
In theory.
You know, I can have a watermelon, I can have a grape. They're both fruit. You know, I don't say, well, the grape is a dwarf fruit. It's not a real fruit anymore. No, it's just a grape. No. Can you imagine they're going to let me teach kids?
You know, it's only good if you do sound effects while teaching, which...
That's true. That's true.
I think you do.
And I thank you for letting me go to Pluto, because you wouldn't let me look at Uranus. Matthew Davis.
I tried.
With us in the neighborhood.
I tried to hold it in.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. Okay. It's time for music. Thank you, by the way, for stopping in again.
Then you just stop listening to us. Stop.